You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Over the lockdown period in Auckland, grocery prices have increased, leaving many families in need of food aid. Food banks and mission groups have been left to provide to those in need. However, now they are struggling to provide enough resources. Janet McAllister from Child Poverty Action Group discusses with Charlie what the government is asking from the groups and where they should be providing more resources to families.
What is the role food banks and mission groups have been playing considering Auckland's lockdown, and why has this been particularly bad?
So what we're finding with this lockdown is that there is less lockdown-related support from the government. They've actually acknowledged that last week in Parliament, which is a problem because we know that poverty increased and inequality increased last year, even though there was a little bit of lockdown-related support kind of given to people for the first lockdown. So what we're seeing this lockdown is kind of a change of approach by the government, where they're giving more money to the charity sector to pick up the slack because there's not enough money out there. So communities via food banks are really being asked to pick up the pieces of government failure this lockdown. And that's not okay because they're really being asked to do the impossible. So what we're finding is that there are a number of families and whānau out there with food insecurity. Now, prior to lockdown, prior to last year's lockdown, we had 20% of all children in Aotearoa New Zealand were in households that sometimes or often ran out of food. So they were experiencing food insecurity. That was up to, I think, around a third of Māori children, and then 46% of Pacific children. So what these statistics are showing us is that there are whole communities, geographical communities, who are living under the toxic stress of not having enough or not being able to know where they're going to get enough money to buy the food that their families need. And what we know is that food insecurity is by far and away the result of income insecurity, not having enough money. So what happens if you can't make your ends meet, you know, your budget ends meet? You can't pay less in your rent that week. Power bills come up, you don't want to get your power cut off. So what you do is you shrink your food budget, because that's the thing that, you know, you can, to a certain extent, actually have some control over. And you get to a point where actually you just don't have anything, or you need to have a top up from a food parcel or from hardship assistance from the government. So the difference that we've seen this lockdown is that in the initial lockdown, the government relaxed some of the criteria that you needed in order to get financial hardship assistance. So they weren't making you jump through hoops and providing so-called evidence that you had need. They just assumed you had need. So it was a high trust model if you said you had need. That was good because it was filling a gap in that emergency. We have not seen that this time. And instead, it seems like the government's like, well, look, what we'll do is we'll just give people food assistance, not via food banks, via charities, rather than giving them the financial assistance that they actually need. Because people can't pay for rent or internet access for children's education with bread. But it's almost like the government doesn't matter if everybody falls off a cliff, because, hey, we've given you a slightly better equipped ambulance down the bottom, which is the food banks. And food banks are struggling. And we know that there are a number of new food banks that have popped up because people have seen the need in their community. And we know that many of them are feeling quite exploited by the government because they're being asked to fill desperate need when actually what's required is money to those families so that they can make the choices that they are best placed to make.
Has there been any focus from what the government's trying to do, like within those Māori and Pacifica groups, to make sure that they do have enough? And as you were saying, with the pop-up groups?
Yeah, so look, so poverty affects all ethnicities. So we know that about half of the children in poverty are Pākehā. And we know that, yes, the government has been putting money into multiple groups and organisations in different communities, in Māori and Pacific communities, to deliver food parcels. So we know that there are healthcare organisations that are now delivering food as well, because that's become a health issue. The other issue, though, is, of course, that this isn't mana enhancing. If you've run out of money because the government is not ensuring that you have your right to an adequate income as a family, and you are told by Work and Income, no, we're not going to give you more money because you've already reached your limit, because your base rate is too low, it's well below the poverty line, and you're told to go to a food bank, well, that's disrespecting you, and it means that you can't live with dignity. And you go to a food bank and they may or may not have food that is appropriate for your family. Now, that could be culturally appropriate, or it could be the type of dietary requirements that your family has. So we've had interviews at the end of last year where there were parents going, well, look, half the stuff in the food parcel my child can't eat, will end up in hospital if they eat that. So the people need to be able to make the choices for themselves and their families, and that requires income. So food is only really just at that very tip of the iceberg in terms of emergency stuff. It's ensuring that, you know, people have the least that they need. And the fact that we're expecting this to happen ongoing on a chronic basis, as opposed to going, okay, for 1 or 2 weeks you might need it because, you know, it was a snap lockdown, nobody knew what was happening. The fact that we're expecting families to go back again and again, week after week, is just eroding all the resources and hope, and it makes people feel disempowered and demoralized and hopeless. And that's core. That is such a problem. For those families and for the communities, particularly when we need people, the government needs to be building up trust so that our public health measures are working. So we're seeing austerity kind of dressed up as kindness, and it's extremely problematic. We have a humanitarian crisis and the government is making it worse.
Do you think then the government should be moving towards sort of an economic strategy where they provide the families with the basis to allow them to just have the basic necessities rather than relying on them to get that from somewhere else?
Yep. So what families need is money, and they need also a guarantee of safe, warm, secure housing and tenancy as well. That's definitely part of it. But in terms of the lockdown and in terms of what we're facing in terms of COVID at the moment, families need money. They don't have enough. We know they don't have enough. One of the deeply, deeply disappointing and horrifying things about this lockdown is that the government keeps talking about benefit increases like they've all already come in. And it's like, no, you acknowledged in May we needed higher incomes for people on benefits, that they weren't enough to live with dignity. You put in partially that they've come in July, but the rest aren't coming in until April. And we come into a lockdown, and we know that if they brought them all in, they still wouldn't have been enough, you know, in July. And we're still waiting for them. And people need them now more than ever because of lockdown. So we would like them to see them increase, well, just bring in a few months early the benefit increases that they've already acknowledged are necessary. We want them to stop pretending that they're already in there. We need to see that backdated to the beginning of lockdown. And we also need to see them step up and acknowledge that they need to give more income support for children, which is the family tax credits, which are currently received by 600,000 children in Aotearoa, New Zealand. So that's most children. They need to ensure that those are fully available for all low-income families. Currently, families who are receiving benefits, whether or not they're in paid work as well, miss out on at least $72.50 a week. That's massive, massive for families who desperately need that now and, you know, are crowding and are facing all those stresses and are facing a lack of education because they can't afford to jump online like the rest of their fellow classmates. So yeah, it's mind-blowing. I can't understand it. It's particularly when the government has, and as they should, have really supported many other people with the wage subsidy. We know that, you know, poverty increased last year, even with those lockdown related supports, and they've done less this year than they did last year. It doesn't make sense.
What can the wider community do as well to sort of help make these changes, either politically or just individually?
Yeah, so look, I think now's the time, I don't usually say this, but now's the time to talk to your MP. Tell them that this is not okay. Tell them that it is unacceptable. And you want to see them really acknowledging the need in the community, which, you know, people have been talking about for the last few months. What are they going to do about it? They keep saying, oh, we're watching. Well, how are they watching? What are they watching? What are they waiting for? And why aren't they bringing things in immediately when they knew that this would be a problem already? So yeah, we're looking for the government to place resources where they're needed, which currently is in our low-income communities, because they're facing poverty that many have never faced before, whether they're working or not working in terms of paid work. There's desperate need out there. The government needs to come to the party, and they need to do it in a permanent way that ensures that everybody has adequate incomes when we're facing the fact that COVID will be bringing health inequities that we haven't seen before in the next few weeks or months.
That was the spokesperson for Child Poverty Action Group, Janet McAllister, speaking to Charlie about the lockdown period in Auckland and how it is affecting families and people out there.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.